and crafts. This is how you got to go and lead people to Jesus. And I walk them through things. But hey, I want to give you a reminder today. Don't leave valuables in your car in plain sight, okay? People are getting pretty bold and brazen around here that they'll bust your window and they'll take it. Okay, so bring your purses in with you, ladies. Don't leave them on the seat. I know they were doing security last week, and the car right here in our senior parking lot, there was a purse right on the seat, and it's like, please don't do that, okay? You're setting yourself up, and because, you know, we do have people walking through the parking lots, and I know that a car was broken in a few weeks ago, and, you know, they took his laptop, his cameras, and everything, so please don't leave stuff in your car in the parking lot, amen? You know, whether you're at church or you're at Walmart, be careful, amen? Don't set yourself up, so lock it in the trunk, and well, even Sarah Porta locked stuff in her trunk, and she left her car unlocked at home, and they came in, and then they popped the thing in the car to pop the trunk, and they took everything out of her trunk, too. So you got to be careful, amen? So just watch out for yourselves and watch out for that stuff. So you ready for the word today? Yeah, me too. You know, Don and I have been in this church. I came here in 1975, Thanksgiving weekend. That's when we moved to Corona, and we've been coming to this church ever since then. So we've been in New Hope a long time, and God is just, we've seen so many things happen. Delonda and I were married here in 1981. We had bright red carpet. All the walls were white, and the pews were blue, because the church, this sanctuary, was dedicated in 1976. The bicentennial year 200, so they made it red, white, and blue. So when you look at Delon and I's wedding pictures, you see that red carpet. The stage, there's a stage built under here, and it's lower, and they didn't have this. They just had a place where you could go up there and a place where you could go up over there, but they built the stage so low that you couldn't see from the balcony, so they built a new stage on top of that a few years later. And you can see the pews are gone, the chair, you know, we have chairs. Carpet's no longer bright red. The walls aren't white, you know. I remember even just a few years ago when I painted that wall black, everybody looked at me like, what is he doing? A black wall in the sanctuary? Oh, my gosh. You know, people were kind of freaked out until they saw everything we did. But, you know, Delon and I have been here, and we've seen changes, you know, through the years that have just been incredible, some good, some bad, you know. But we've seen a lot. We've been here. And when we were younger, when we came to the Lord, we started attending small groups, and our girls were little, you know, and as we went to small groups in the church, you know, we didn't know what to expect. I mean, you're going to go to somebody's home that, you know, you may not know real well, and listen, when we went to small group, they didn't do this. They didn't tie us up. They didn't beat confessions out of us, okay? they didn't, you know, make us confess every sin. They didn't make us share our life story. When we went to small groups for the first time, all they did was we had a Bible study and we had fun. You know, and in our small groups that we always went to, they always had a little bit of refreshments and stuff. And it was good, you know. And it was a great way for us to get plugged into the church, to get to know people on a smaller basis. Because in here, you know, I've noticed our greeting time, we could go a long time with our greeting because everybody wants that sense of belonging. Everybody say belong. We all want to belong, amen? We all want to belong. And so, you know, when we have this greeting time in the church, it's nice, but it's very superficial. It's just, hey, how you doing today? Hey, what's going on? How you doing? You're doing good. Hey, good to see you. God bless you. Have a great day. You know, it's very superficial. It's no depth, you know. And we probably don't want it to get deep because we only want it to be about 2 minutes. Small groups, it could be a little bit more, you know, of getting involved in each other's lives. You know, getting involved in the church can be easier. It can be hard. We had one lady that came one time, and she was new, and she said, Pastor, I need to meet people. Can you introduce me? By all means. So I had her stand up. I said, hey, this is Lorraine James. She's new here. She's from South America. She wants to know people. And she got to know people, amen? You know, and then there's people like me, like I was. No offense, Danny, Ed, and Bob, you know, but that's where I used to sit. In the back row, because I'd sit in the back row when I'd come into church. You know, because I wanted to make sure the pastor saw me. I wanted to make sure my mom saw me and Delonda's mom saw me. You know, her dad was an associate pastor here in the church. Delonda's dad was. So I wanted to make sure we were saw. But when they said, all right, why don't you bow your heads when the pastor was finished, that was our exit strategy. That was the time to get up and get out the door before anything could happen to us, you know. And the one time that that usher sat me down here on the middle row, I couldn't escape. Holy Spirit hit me before I could hit the door, you know. He fell on me and I fell on the floor and it was over, and it's been over ever since then. You know, but that was my exit strategy. Then there's those of you, you want to get involved, but you're quiet. You know, you don't want to intrude. You don't want to push your way in. You know, you want to just, you know, you want to be invited to something. You know, there's so many people. Andy, I'm just telling you right now. People heard what you said, but nobody will come to you. Because there's that element of people, and it's a lot of people, that you have to go to them and say, I need you. So
be prepared.
Because I have found that we can stand up here and we can make all the announcements we want, and we can tell you what's going on. Joy group is tomorrow. Amen. Yeah, the seniors. So that's at 5:30 tomorrow. But listen, in people, unless you go up and say, the Lord needs you to do this, they've heard you, but they're not going to. Because they want to get involved, but they're afraid to step out. You know, they want you to come to them and say, I really need you into the choir. That's what I've been doing. I've been going to people and say, I really need you in the choir. You know, I really need you in the choir for Christmas. How many of you have ever wanted to minister? Raise your hand. All right, we'll see you next Saturday, 10:45. And you that didn't raise your hand that really wanted it, this Saturday, 10:45, you can come and you can be a minister in the house of the Lord. You can be on the stage and sing a song. Hallelujah. But, you know, there's those that ask, and they end up, people that want to be involved, but they don't want to ask, they end up settling into the church, or they end up church hopping. They end up going place to place because they want to be involved, but they don't know how to ask. Is there anybody here like that? You don't have to raise your hand, but. And then there's always that person who does not want to connect with people. You know, it does not want anyone to know their business. This is a lot of people these days. Yeah, Jeanette's going like this because they walk around like this. You can know my name, but don't get close. You know, they love God, but they never been able to sit with people and get to know them in a more intimate way. And there's those people like that all around us. They walk around like this. Hey, how you doing? My name's Ron. My name's Valerie. My name's Joe. My name's Holly. My name's Scott. My name's Mary. And we keep people at a distance. And then there's those people that are too busy to connect. You know, they have their family, they have no time or room for any other people in their life. It's just like, you know, us four, no more. You know, Delon and I had two kids. Us four, no more. That's it. That's enough. You know, it's enough to take care of. And I know we're all busy. It just seems like life is busy. But somewhere in what I just said, I described you. You're one of those people. I'm one of those people. I've changed a lot, hallelujah, through the years. And I do want to connect. I do want to belong. Everybody say belong. So, but I was that guy that wanted to just get out. As long as the pastor saw me, I was okay with that. You know, because I always sat in his line of sight because I didn't want anybody to call me either. We don't do that anymore. We don't call you if you miss. That might kind of freak people out. These, oh my gosh. I mean, because I remember when he called me, Pastor Dave called me. It was like, Londa, we're going to church every Sunday. I never want that phone call again. I don't want him. You know, it was okay when one of the phone people called me, you know. One of the people that just, you know, they put on the phone to call the people that are missing, you know. But when the pastor called me, I'm like, we're never missing a church again. I don't want that phone call, and I don't miss. Not just because I'm the pastor, but I don't miss. So part of going to a small group is not only connecting with God, but connecting with people also, amen? Whether it's a small group with children or a small group with adults, connecting with people, amen? That's what we want to do. Everybody say belong. And I think we all want to belong and make friends. But I think that people get intimidated by that too. I know that on the Friday night prayer meeting, when I'm leading, not that many people pray out. But when I'm not there, everybody prays. I mean, I come back and I'm like, what do you mean everybody? I'm going to stop coming to Friday night prayer meeting, you know? Because I don't know if it's the intimidation, oh, that the pastor's here, so we shouldn't pray. We should just let him pray. Now, Pastor Rob and I, we could bust off an hour, just the two of us by ourselves, and an hour's gone. But I'm trying not to do that anymore. I'm trying to stop and just wait. Let people enter in and pray, but people get intimidated because I'm there. But listen, you got to get past your intimidations and your fears and realize that the pastors are just people just like you, amen? I went to Corona High School. Yeah, Corona, huh? Yeah. Class of 1979. Hallelujah. But we all want to belong and make friends. So, you know, you need to know, just family is not enough. We need each other. We need each other. We need to be able to connect with people. You need to know that you're not special in the sense that your issues are just special to you. Because when you start connecting with the body of Christ, you begin to discover that we all have issues. We all have things that we've been going through. We all have battles that we face. We all have things that we're overcoming. Amen? We all do. There's, you know, pastor, you know, we're all overcoming. Amen? And that's the great thing about God is he gives us that opportunity to overcome. So let's stand and let's read the word. Today we're going to read out of Acts 2, 46 and 47. It's two scriptures. It says, verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Dear Heavenly Father, as we talk today on this passage of Scripture, I pray that it would speak life to every one of us. That, Father, that we would see the importance, Lord, of not only coming to church, but, Lord, of gathering together in homes. Now, Lord, we see the importance of growing in you, of learning, of even breaking bread together, Father. And that, Lord, that your joy would strengthen every person here. And, Father God, that intimidation that the enemy tries to bring would be broken off of every person here today. And, Lord, we not be intimidated. Lord, we not be timid or fearful because you've not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us power, love, and a sound mind. And, Lord, that's what we want. That's what we desire. And we want to walk it out in our lives, Father. So today, devil, get off! Lord, and God, arise in our hearts and our minds today that we be so alive in you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So, in this passage of Scripture, it's telling us that we need to connect. Everybody say connect. We need to connect with God and with people, amen, in the church and in the house. We need to fellowship with God, and we need fellowship with each other. We need to belong. Amen? Everybody say belong. You know, and the word is koinonia. It's sharing, unity, close association, partnership, participation, a society, a communion. We need to commune together. Amen? And I'm not talking about move to some place where there's no people around and build a wall around us. I'm talking about we need to come together and commune in the house of God and in each other's homes. We need that brotherhood. Koinonia is brought about by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. In koinonia, the individual shares in common an intimate bond of fellowship with the rest of the Christian society. As it says up there right now, koinonia cements the believers to the Lord Jesus and to each other. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you. I need you. We need each other. Amen? We do need each other. We need that encouragement. We need to build each other up. That's what prophecy is. It's to encourage. It's to exhort. Come here, Delonda. Exhortation means that you come alongside and you join arms with each other. You lock arms and you help each other. That's exhortation. That's prophetic ministry. Amen. We just spent 4 days on prophetic ministry in this house. And that's what prophetic ministry is that we exhort, we encourage, we comfort one another. Amen. How many of you ever need comfort? Oh, amen. And see, that's what a good small group is going to do. They're gonna comfort you. Amen. Because that's a place where the prophetic ministry can go. That's koinonia. It cements us together. It brings us together as a body of Christ to encourage and build up each other. And we're to do it in the church. Amen. Everybody say in the church. It builds in the church. Coming to church regularly, committing with God in the unity with people. Listen, when you come to church, you need to be in unity with each other. Amen? We need to be in unity. If you have a problem with somebody in the church, you have to take care of it. You have to take care of it. If you have a problem with somebody in the church, you've got to. You know, I remember this guy one time, he had a problem with me. And I loved it because instead of going and telling anybody he had a problem with me, he came to me directly after the service. He says, I have a problem with what you said today. I said, okay, hey, come this day and we'll sit down and we talked about it. And we sat and talked about it and he heard my view and he, after that, he loved me. And when we were having a service one Sunday, he stood up in the back and he says, Pastor, can I say something? I mean, that hardly ever happens, okay? He says, can I say something? I said, okay, you know, you're a little leery about it. What are you going to say? And he said, Pastor Ron's a man of God. You need to listen to him. And I thought, wow, because he came to me. Because he wanted to take care of what he felt. See, and that's what needs to happen. We need to take care of that. Because when we come together, we need to be in unity. How good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in. There the anointing will flow. Amen. When you come into the house of God, if you're not in unity, you may be the very block to the anointing that God wants to bring. How many of you want to block the anointing of God? You block it? No. Come on, honey. Get on board with me now. Nobody wants to block what God wants to do, amen? Because when we're in the church, in John 17, this was the prayer of Jesus. He said this, he said, I do not pray for these alone, those that were with him right then, but also for those who will believe in me through the word. That's us. He's praying for us. He says that they all, everybody say all, may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. So Jesus' prayer is that we would be one, that we would not be divided, we'd be in unity, amen, that we'd learn to walk together. You know, I it's amazing because I get people all the time that come to me and say, Pastor, what you talked about today was my devotion this morning. What you talked about today was what I've been reading all week. And I'm like, that's because we're walking together in the Spirit. And when we're walking together in the Spirit, it's amazing how much God speaks to us the same things. And that's what it's confirming the Word. So in the church, we need to be in unity. And this brings belief to the world when they see that we're in unity. Amen? It'll cause the world when they see that we're in unity and we protect each other, we love each other, it's going to cause a change in the world around us. Amen? It reveals God to the world. And we need to do this so that we're building the kingdom of God. Amen? We want to build God's kingdom. And you know, it was in the temple square where they came, where thousands came to know Jesus. The first day when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and Peter stood up in the temple square. He wasn't in a building, he was in the square. And when he spoke, and thousands of people came to Jesus. And that happened a few times. So when we come together in that unity, it's amazing what God will do if we let him. But then they didn't leave it just in the temple square. Then they took it to the home. Amen. Everybody say, in the home. In the home, they were able to teach and disciple people. And that's what we want to do. We want to teach and disciple people in the home. We want to create atmospheres in people's homes that you can come into, that you can learn the Word of God, that you can be discipled, that you can learn what we believe. It's important to know what your church believes, amen? That you can know the doctrine of your church, what your church stands for, what we believe in, amen? So that you can come alongside. And you might say, I don't believe that. Well, if you don't believe it, I remember we had some people here that were, they didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues, and they didn't believe in tithing. And I said, that's okay if you don't believe that, but you can't speak that in our church, because that's not what we believe. In our church, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in tithing. We believe in giving to the Lord. So if you don't believe those things, that's on you, but don't speak that in our church, because that will create division. And we don't want division, amen? We believe, what we believe is the whole counsel of God. So we don't want to limit God, amen? I never want to limit God. So we want to take it to the homes. It says in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of everybody. Say it. Oh, that's so weak. Everybody say it. All the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Everybody say all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So God's command to us is that what you learn, that you take it to other people. Amen? That you impart to people, that you give it out, that what is in you. See, it's kind of like, you know, when water flows into a lake, if there's no outlet, it just becomes stinky. You know, it can become a swamp. You know, go to Louisiana, get around them swamps, you know. I've been down in them swamps of Louisiana just to check out the alligators, you know. And it's, you know, it's yucky. Yeah. See, that's because it's stagnant. There's no flow. And that's how we as Christians can get when we don't have a flow of what God is doing in us. If you don't tell people what's doing, it just gets in you. And pretty soon you become a stinky, old, mean Christian. And people look at you and they say, man, if I'm going to end up like that, I'm not doing this. Don and I and a few others, we went to the Morris Cirillo conference a few weeks ago, 86 years old. The guy could barely speak. He's talking to the fellow, but he just had a little voice. But man, that anointing on that guy, it was powerful. At 86 years old this year, he's going to 40 nations. 40 nations. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, I've been to Africa 3 times and England and China this year. I think, wow, that's a lot. I still got one more trip to go. I am going to Pakistan and India later this year. So keep me in prayer. If God tells you to help me, help me. Hallelujah. Amen. And everybody said, amen. It's fun to go to places like that, man, to preach the gospel. But we want to do it in the home. I'm going to do the part to go to the other side of the world, but I want you to do it here at home, amen? It's not a wish that you go and do it. It's a command. It's a command to do this, amen? We're to teach what Jesus has poured into us. We're to pour it out. We will all be sharing from the Christian Life series of the Assemblies of God, how to walk in a Christian life. So all of our smaller group leaders have a different curriculum that they're going to impart to you, a different teaching that they're going to impart to you. And so they're all going to be teaching, but there'll be food, their fellowship. I told them, don't feed you. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But they're going to meet on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., and I'm going to introduce them to you in a little bit. But we want to make a place that you can come and that you can bring a friend to, so that they can hear more about the kingdom of God. That they can learn more about what it means to walk with Jesus. That you can actually learn and receive and grow and take it in and then take it to somebody else. Amen? We're going to launch 7 small groups today. But I believe that out of the 7, you know that more and more is going to come. That somebody's going to be raised up and say, I want to do a small group. I want to do a small group because I believe that God wants to raise you up in this day, in this hour, that you can go and you can be part of fulfilling the call of God on your life. Everybody say, I belong. And since you belong, we want to make it simple. Amen. That's what he said. Make it simple so that we can all grow together. You know, you may know a lot about the word and not see the need for this. And I believe that's a major failure of the church. I believe this is where we're failing as a church. Because people who have been at this for a long time, saints that have been walking this out, don't see the need. I already know enough. I'm good. I don't need to go and be a part of a small group. And I see that as a failure in the house of God today. A major failure. We should want to bring someone who doesn't know Jesus to a small group. We should be able to add to the conversation in a small group. We should want to use our gifts in a group. We should have the desire to impart and share with people in a small group. Amen. We should have that desire to encourage others in a group. We should have that desire to exhort each other. We should have that desire to comfort each other. Amen. We should have that desire to be a part of a group that God can move through us. See, because when you come on Sunday mornings, the way church is designed right now is you listen to me. But listen, I only get part. I don't know it all. I know a lot, but I don't know it all. Amen. Like John Harkey said, you know, Pastor Ron's getting his master's degree. I'm 1.5 classes away from having my master's in biblical theology. But you know what I'm doing right now is I'm building a team around me, a small group around me, where we go over my sermon. Where we go over what I'm talking about. Because I only see in part, so I want them to bring their part to the table. I want them to bring their suggestions. I want them to offer up what God is saying to them so that when I stand up here on Sundays, I'm getting a complete thing, that you're getting a complete thing, amen? Small groups are important, amen? But we need to make it simple to come together, to love people to life. We need to love on each other, amen? Not make it so complicated that it's a burden. You know, I know when people are having small groups in their home. Let's see, small group leader, 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 small group leader. Who else am I missing? You know, small group leader. You know, we all kind of freak out. Well, I have people that don't know me that are coming to my home. And so all day cleaning, preparing, you know, getting ready for that visit. Now, that's nothing that Delon and I wouldn't do. But God, I'm telling you right now, wants to make it simple. He doesn't want to make it so difficult that you're freaked out that people are coming home. God wants you to come together to relax. That you create an atmosphere, not of stress. Who's bringing what tonight? Just an atmosphere where I came and I brought a watermelon with me. Is that okay? Something simple. He wants it to be simple, amen? That coming together is not a difficult thing, but it's a simple thing. That we just come together and we talk about God and we grow together. That we, everybody say it, belong. That we belong with each other, amen? And while we're at it, maybe we eat together. That was us at In-N-Out the other night at midnight, eating lettuce-wrapped burgers, hallelujah. Eating together. You know, I told the small group leaders, don't worry about food for your small group. I was like, oh. Don't worry about the food. Make it simple. Keep it simple. You know, if somebody brings a pie, cut it up and serve it. If somebody brings a watermelon, cut it up and serve it. But keep it simple. Give them a cup of water. Give them a cup of coffee. I don't care. But don't make it so difficult that you're stressed every week. Oh, my gosh, I got to prepare a meal for these people. That was Delana. Delana and I used to have a small group of about 85 people. It's not a small group, I know. It was a church in our home. But she would make a meal every time they came. I'm like, honey, that's a lot of food. So every other week or whatever, you know, she'd make food for like 85. We've had as many as 135 people in our home that she would feed. I'm like, this is crazy, honey. You know, we can't feed all these people. She's like, watch me. Well, I'm telling our small groups, it doesn't have to be around food. It's got to be around God and people, amen? Getting to know one another and connecting so that we can praise God together. So that we can praise God together. There is power. Everybody say power.
Power.
In praising God together. That was a church in India that I was in, that I spoke in one time. Pastor... I remember his wife's name, Sonia Devron, and his church. He sent me that picture. They just expanded their church. But listen, the Word of God tells us this, Matthew 18:20. It says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I stay up in heaven and I have nothing to do with you." No, he says, I'm there in your midst. So wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there. So he's in the what? He's in the small group. He's there with you, amen? And in Isaiah 61:3, it says, you know, it's talking about to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. Everybody say praise.
Praise.
For the spirit of heaviness. So that when you come together in a small group and you praise God, you put on that garment of praise and that heaviness, that depression, that weight that the enemy tries to put on you, it goes. So that you're not just living Sunday to Sunday, but midweek you're getting filled up. You're getting rid of that heaviness the enemy's trying to bring on you. And you're just destroying the works of the enemy, amen? That we may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And that's our objective, to glorify God. In Psalms 22:3, it says, this is to the Lord. It says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. And what this translates down to is God inhabits our praises. So when we come together and we praise the Lord together, whether we be in the church or we're in the home, God is there. He shows up. He inhabits that time. Amen. He is with us. And he does amazing things. And remember, it's not just singing is praise, but even talk about him is praise. When we talk, I remember I used to do this men's Bible study every Saturday. I did it for years. Three of us met. We used to meet at Thomas Farms every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. We'd have breakfast and we'd just talk about God. Did it for years. And when we first started, we said, let our conversation be prayer. Let our conversation be prayer. We didn't get religious, bow our head, close our eyes. Our conversation was prayer. And everything we talked about, at the end, we would just say amen. We just declared the things of God in our conversation. We declared who he was and what he was doing in our conversation. That small group, amen? That's coming together and allowing God to move in a group. And when this happens, the Lord adds to the church. Everybody say the Lord. That's my idea, huh? The Lord adds to the church. Let that be so. You know, that's a lot of people. Let the Lord add to the church. As we reach out and invite others to a non-intimidating small group, the Lord can add to the church. You know, the small group leaders here today, I don't want you to just invite people to church. I want you to invite your neighbors. I want you to invite people that, you know, you work with. I want you to connect in your homes with them. Say, hey, come on over. We're going to do a Bible study. Because you are going to study the Bible in these small groups. And they're great studies. They're awesome studies. I'm so excited that that the Lord opened these up to me. It's going to be a great time. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to grow a lot. But being in the home, you experience the love of God from each other. I remember Delonda... One time, she just wanted to experience the love of God. She wanted to see God. She wanted God to give her a hug, you know. And he said, I do that all the time. She's like, well, how do you do that? Well, you see that person over there? When they come and give you a hug, God's in them. That person over there, when they smile at you, God's in them. When Delonda gives you a hug, I know it's the love of God. I remember, man, when we were in this one country one time, and we were ministering to people. We were praying. We were working as a team. And pretty soon it broke off. Delonda just began to hug the ladies. And I remember the first lady she hugged, the lady went, you know, like, what is she doing to me right now? And she just stiffened up, you know. And Delonda just like, I'm not letting go. And she just pulled that lady in and she hugged her. And then pretty soon, then that lady broke. She started sobbing. And Delonda held her. Now this went on for 6.5 hours straight. It was amazing how God moved. I was praying like a maniac and she was loving like a maniac. And God just moved through the power of a hug. And it broke down walls and people. Sometimes we just need that hug, huh? It's funny because guys started getting in line to hug Delonda. I'm like, get out of line. Come here, I'll give you a hug. I said, I'll give you a hug. Come here. But as we step out, the Lord adds to the church. Amen. As we love people, the Lord will add to the church. His desire is to build the kingdom. Amen. But we have to have a kingdom mentality. We got to be thinking about the kingdom of God and not our own kingdom. I'm not thinking about Ron King's kingdom. I'm thinking about the kingdom of God. That's why we have an Arabic church in here on Sunday night, because of the kingdom of God. That's why we have a Spanish church going on right now, because of the kingdom of God. That's why we have another church that's in here on Tuesday night, because of the kingdom of God. We want to build the kingdom, amen. I don't believe that a church should be empty. I believe that we need to constantly allow it to be filled, amen. And I know that God has given us homes. He's given you homes so that you can fill your home, amen, to the glory of God. God wants to use your homes to fill up with people so that they can come, that they can be loved on, that they can be discipled, that they can receive a word from God in your home, that they can get it from somebody else besides me. Because I know these leaders have something to impart. They have something to give to you. They have something to transfer from God to you. And I know that God wants to do a supernatural work through these small groups. And I believe that this is going to explode in our house. I believe that God is going to do a supernatural work in every one of you. As I said, we're starting with 7 today, but I know that by the end of the year, there will be more. Because God, this is God in the church and in the home. Remember, Moses took care of the people. I said this a few weeks ago. Moses was the one that sat and took in all the people. And Jethro said, you need people over the tens, over the 50s, over the hundreds, over the thousands. Small group leaders are the people over tens. They're the ones that are going to be close. They're the ones that you're going to call. They're the ones that are going to be, you're going to get intimate with. You're like, oh, I don't get intimate with anybody. Break that wall down. Get to know somebody. Like I said, they're not going to say, oh, tell me your junk when you walk in the door. They're just going to love you and they're going to share God with you. And then in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. In the Amplified, it says, seek first God's way of doing things, his way of being right. When we do that, I remember, Lucy, I was sitting where you were many years ago. When I first came to the Lord, and God spoke to me, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's all he told me. I'm like, wow. I said, that sounds like scripture. So I got out my Bible, I got the concordance, and I found this scripture. I found Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I said, God, why'd you leave part off? Why didn't you tell me that all these things will be added unto me if I seek you first? He says, I don't want you focused on what's going to be added to you. I want you to be focused on me. And that's where God wants to take you. He wants your focus on him. Amen. It's got to stop being about us. How many of you feel like we're in the last days? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? We're creating an avenue for you to reach out. Remember, our motto's been each one, reach one. And we're giving you that opportunity to reach one, to take them to a small group that they can connect with the people of God and get to know each other. Amen. The Lord adds to the church when we do this. It's all about his kingdom. So if you're opening your home to do it, or you attend a growth group, we're going to call them growth groups, because we're going to grow. This is an opportunity to invite people to get to know Jesus, because we all need Jesus. And if you really feel this is the last days, I challenge you, really, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to go about it? I was listening to a comedian the other day, and it was pretty funny, because he was short and he was round. He was really round. And he said that he joined a gym. I'm listening. He said he joined a gym and he got a trainer. He hired a trainer. And the trainer said, "All right, I want you to do a sit-up." The guy looked at him and said, "I don't do up." The trainer said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "I do down, I don't do up." The trainer's like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, I lie down, I sit down, I chow down, I throw down a cheeseburger, I don't do up. I think about the church today. We come in, but we don't do out. We come into the church, but at some point, you've got to reach out. At some point, you've got to take on the heart of the Father to reach out. It can't just be, I'll do in, but I don't do out. It's got to be, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to touch somebody that I know needs Jesus. And I'm going to bring them to me. When Delonda and I opened up our home and we did our small group, which turned into, I had the police called on me every time we did it. Because there were so many people in our home, we'd always have a live band. I mean, it got crazy, you know. The police, but the live band was worship. And the people would sing, they worship. I'd get to praying so loud in the spirit, praying over people, that the people down the street could hear me praying in tongues. They would sit out in their yard listening to us on Friday nights. But we would get people that didn't come. And you know, it's kind of funny because the people that don't usually come always come early. They're never late. So the new people would come and they'd come into the house and Delonda, they'd say, "Well, can I help?" And Delonda would say, "Absolutely. Here, why don't you stir this pot for a while, you know?" And she'd put them right to work cooking and chopping and doing things so that they could belong. And God wants you to belong. Amen? He wants you to belong to the family of God. Remember this one young man, he gave a prophetic word years ago. Come here, Marvin. And you know, come on, hurry up, man. There you go. But, you know, because we always come and we give a hug, you know.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, his vision from the Lord was hug like this. Because you got room for somebody else. That you allow other people to belong. And that's our small groups. That's the leaders of our small groups. They're going to make room for you to belong. And they're going to make room for your friends to belong. They're going to make a way where it doesn't seem to be a way that your friends, your co-workers, your family members can come in and connect with the people of God and ultimately connect with God. That's the objective. A small group. You watch that video of small groups for kids. It's the same thing. Except we're not kids anymore, amen? And we want to grow in Jesus. And you may be the only God that people see. Invite people to a small group and let them experience God in a small setting. And then bring them here. Then bring them into this place. So today, I want to introduce to you our small group leaders. First, Jesse, Pastor Jesse and Angela Smith. Come on up here and stand here, Pastor Jesse. Yeah. I've known Pastor Jesse for a long time. First time I got to know Pastor Jesse, when I really got to know him, it was in an intimate setting. We shared a hotel room together on a men's retreat. And we went and he'd say, "Could we pray before we go to sleep?" I said, "Absolutely." And we start praying, and then 3-4 hours later, we would finish. I'm like, "It's 3 o'clock, bro." Second year we did it. Man, we're going and we're praying. And I fell asleep. And I think I was praying in tongues in my sleep. You know, because I woke up just praying in tongues, you know. Wonderful man of God. His wife is great. He's been my friend and our associate pastor for quite a while. And the next are Pastor Rob and Terry Salter. Come on, you guys. Come on up here on my left. They're our associate pastors, and they're just doing a great job. And Pastor Rob right now is working on our website and communication with you. We're going to get ready to do a launch on a website that's going to allow you to create a profile, to allow you to belong to the New Hope family and know everything that's going on. Terry's helping out in the offices. She also handles a lot of decorating and a lot of throwing out stuff. So she gets rid of the junk. So, hallelujah. And they're wonderful teachers of the Word of God. Terry and Rob have just grown. I met Rob through In Christ United, our pastor's group, and I'm like, you need to come and belong to New Hope. And they did, and they have, and they've been belonging for a long time. And the next ones I'll introduce to you is Marvin and Nydia Garcia. Come on up here. You know them? They're our worship leaders. Their focus is going to be, I put that pre-haircut picture up there, Marvin, and I think that's when you put that flower in your hair. That wasn't really there, was it? You kind of decorated. But their focus is going to be on college and career, 18 to 24-year-olds. We want to reach those young kids coming in. We don't want to lose them out of youth. We want to have a place to go. They're probably going to meet on Fridays at 7 because most of our young people are involved serving in the youth ministry, and they're going to be meeting here at the church. Pastor Jesse, Pastor Rob are going to be in their homes. And the next one's Jeanette Barber and Kathy. And so they're going to meet there at their home. And just call ahead where they're going to, you know, how to get into their complex. Yeah, come stand with her, Mrs. Stone. Kathy Stone, wonderful woman of God, and Jeanette, powerful woman. Jeanette, we've known Jeanette for a long time, 10 years now, and we've seen Jeanette just grow in leaps and bounds in the Lord, and it's just been fantastic. The next ones are Robert and Victoria Vargas. Yeah, amen. Robert is a deacon in the church. And just a wonderful man, a woman of God, you know. Him and Victoria, how long you guys been married now? 4 years. Yeah, Victoria was the best thing that ever happened to Robert, you know. She said, we pray. So they're at Friday night prayer every week. When I can't be there, I'll call them to lead Friday night prayer. Faithful men and women of God. And one thing that Robert always prays for, always, he's concerned for the young people, and he prays for your children every week. He prays for the sick and your children. So they live on Magnolia and Fullerton over that way, right? Pastor Rob and Terry live straight up. If you go Ontario to Bangalore and go up, that's where they live. And they have flyers in their hands. And on their flyer, it has directions to their house. The next one, Scott and Vicki Allen. Yeah, come on. Scott and Vicki Allen. I have seen this couple grow in the Lord. And you know, they wanted to teach on marriage because, you know, their marriage has been through a few things. They got divorced years ago and then got remarried on a Sunday morning during the service. Never forget that day. It was a beautiful day when they got married here again. And how long ago has that been? 17 years. Praise God. Scott is a deacon in the church, one of our deacons. And don't sit in the back, Angela. Get up here with your husband. And God has been touching them and doing amazing things in their life. And it's just awesome. And then Ed and Andy Morales. Ed's got to put his picture up before he runs up here. So, you know, they love family. Ed and Andy, if you haven't heard their testimony, have adopted 4 children. And just loving these kids to life. So, Ed and Andy live in Horse Thief Canyon. So if you live down south, see, Joe, you could go to that one. Joe and Rose, you could go to there. There, see, they're down there in Horse Thief Canyon. And so go down there to the canyon and get ministered to. Pastor Jesse's still going to do second Sunday of the month. He has a marriage group that meets in his home. We have Don Maurice Whistler. Stand up, Don Maurice, and wave at everybody. Yeah, amen. She does Celebrate Life, which is our recovery program on Tuesday nights at 7. And so you can go to that. I don't see Rainey here today. Rainey Heredia does a prayer meeting on Tuesday mornings at between 10 and 11. So if you want to get more involved in prayer, I lead a prayer meeting on Friday nights at 7. Pastor Jesse leads one on Saturday night at 6. You're getting busy, bro. Yeah. So these are our team. So I'd like you to stand this morning. But before I have you do what I'm going to do, I just want you to, I want to pray for you. Don't leave right now. Don't leave. No exiting. I want you to bow your heads. I've talked about belonging today. Maybe you've had a tough time belonging, whether it's been fear because of your past or it's just the enemy been spewing fear at you. Had a fear about belonging in the sense that you're afraid to go to a small group because what if they find out about you? Let me just tell you this. If they find out about you, it's probably because they've been through it themselves. If you are here today and you've had that fear about belonging, about going all in with the body, I want to pray for you today. So just raise your hand if that's you. You've had that fear. Been holding back. Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, those that raise their hands, or even those that didn't, I pray, Father, as we move forward building the kingdom of God, that all fear and intimidation that the enemy tries to bring would be broken off today in the name. That, Lord, that your perfect love would just come down right now and touch people. That you just touch our hearts today to receive your love, God. And that your love would grow in each one of us today. Lord, because your perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear leads to torment. So, Lord, none of us want to live in fear, but, Lord, we all want to belong in this body. So, Lord, I pray that today that we'd step out, we'd step into a new thing here at New Hope, God. Growth groups, God, growth groups. That we would all grow in Jesus, that we would all impart to each other, God. That you would do a work in each one of us, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. So this is what I want you to do. Don Maurice is heading to We Connect Corner. So if you're new here and you've just been coming a few times and you want to get to know more about what's happening, you can go to We Connect with Don Maurice right now. Or I want you to come, everybody. I want you to welcome them as leaders. I want, as small group, growth group leaders, I want you to get their flyer so that they can invite you to come. So come on and just congratulate them on their new start of ministry. And get a flyer from them and just bless them today. Don't leave. Don't leave without getting a flyer. Come and get one. Be a part of the small groups. Go to We Connect if this is your first time here. Come on, don't leave. Come and get one.